It's me, your old pal, Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I'm here with ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We've got wonderful guests in the studio. We always have wonderful guests in the studio today. We have Jameson Bales, a writer-poet. We have Dan Free, who is a gallery owner, photographer, and just a really nice guy. And we also have Diego Chi, who will be in here on the second half of the program to talk about the upcoming events with making movies. So let's get started. I want to talk about Dan Free, who lives and works as a commercial and fine art photographer in his studio in the Columbus Park neighborhood of Kansas City, Missouri. He graduated from the Kansas City Art Institute with a BFA in photo video in 1994. Now, Dan owns and operates the Trap Gallery at 525 Gillis here in Kansas City, Missouri, and that showcases local and national artists. In Dan's words, he photographs to capture the beauty that he finds from the deterioration of the built environment. So we're going to talk about the upcoming events at the gallery. Welcome, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
Yikes, all of a sudden I've got this tickle. The gallery is located at 525 Gillis, and it's in the wonderful Columbus Park area. Let's talk a little bit about the history of that neighborhood to begin with, and kind of, you know, let our listeners in on where it's at.
Well, from what I understand, Columbus Park was one of Kansas City's first neighborhoods and has always been historically an immigrant kind of neighborhood.
Yeah.
It was largely Italian.
Predominantly Italian, sure.
For a long time. There was a big influx of Vietnamese in the 70s and 80s, and there's still a very strong Vietnamese population there.
Mm-hmm.
The center of the neighborhood is Holy Rosary Church.
Yeah. Was it at one time St. Francis of Assisi?
No? I don't know the answer.
I don't know. I know it's been there a long time, so I doubt very much that they have changed names. I don't know. Changed saints.
I know they do part of the Mass in Vietnamese because there's so many Vietnamese parishioners that go there. There's a bunch of great restaurants in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of cool old brick buildings and small houses, and we're packed in pretty tight, close to each other. So it's a very neighborly neighborhood.
It is. It really is. Everyone knows everyone else, and there's some businesses there that are thriving, like your gallery. I do want to say that for artists and people that were around, like, late 80s, early 90s, David Ford had that space, which was known as the Left Bank at the time.
Yeah, that was that was when I was at the Art Institute. The Left Bank was going on, and that was my first introduction to the neighborhood. When my wife Christina and I were looking to buy a building, mm-hmm. that was Columbus Park was definitely one of the neighborhoods that we were looking in. And surprisingly enough, our building had been sitting empty for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And there was a massive hole in the roof, and some neighborhood kids had been throwing rocks through the windows and stuff like that. So I think we swept in right at the right time,
mm-hmm.
and kept it from going into more disrepair.
Well, and it's a beautiful what you've done, the renovations, and you know, brought it back to life. It's a beautiful gallery, and it's right there on the corner, just in the middle of everything, in a way. But you promote local artists mostly, or
mostly local artists, mostly emerging artists.
Uh-huh. Where do you find them?
It started out. I was just calling up my friends, mm-hmm. and asking them if they wanted to have a show. Sometimes I was scrambling at the last minute to put something together. I remember one show I had one new piece, and so that was the show. It was Dan's big new piece. Now I've been doing it for so long that people track me down, and I also reach out to artists that I like and artists that I know. And I, at this point, I'm able to book several months in advance.
Terrific.
I usually have my whole year figured out by the time the first of the year rolls around.
I do want to tell our listeners that one of the big shows that, that you have yearly is Rust, a show about
Love Rust.
Love Rust. So let's talk about that.
Love Rust came from I did a dual show with an artist named Ann Reckling.
Love her. Hello, Ann.
And she found out about me through the Artist Inc. program.
Right.
She was in a session, I think, after mine. She was talking about Rust, and they said, "Oh, you got to track down this Dane Free guy."
Uh-huh.
And I've been taking pictures of Rust for 25 years.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's kind of my main medium and inspiration. So she and I put together a show at, Room 39 and had a great time. And as we were taking it down, she said, "We need to do this every year." So the next year, we put it together. I think I had 13 artists the first year. Everything from large outdoor sculptures to painting and photography and things like that. And so that was 2010. I did my first one. So, and it's, I've been doing it every October since.
Well, I know I met Ann in Artist Inc. in 2009, and her work was largely about rust, you know, the beauty of it, the patina, the texture, the, you know, all of that. I have to say, though, when I attended shows for Love Rust at Trap Gallery, that with your photographs, although it's two-dimensional, I see people sort of wanting to touch that surface because it's so visceral. I mean, it's just right there, and it kind of fools the eye.
Yeah, it does happen a lot. It's very illusionary and somewhat abstract. It's a lot of times it's hard to tell exactly what you're looking at, which is one of my goals, is to take it out of the realm of the everyday or something that you you know, immediately recognize, and trying to take it sort of more towards the abstract.
You have a unique way to exhibit work where you the gallery is open for opening reception the third Friday of each month.
Right.
So this Friday you have a group show that's coming up called Proximity. And let's talk about the artists in that group show.
So Proximity also started about 4 years ago, and it was an idea that I had just to have a showcase for the artists who live in Columbus Park. And my first year, you know, I said, "Oh, I'll throw together a group show and get 8 or 10 artists or something like that." My first year, I had 30 artists bring me work.
And that's all in the Columbus Park area.
You know, so that's hence the name Proximity. We all, we all live, you know, in our tight little neighborhood. And so it's the first year I actually had to recruit a couple of other spaces to show all the work because there was so many artists. But this year I'm looking at about 15-16 artists. In the process of hanging the show right now, and it'll open on Friday.
So, for listeners who want more information, your website?
ColumbusParkArt.com is that's the sort of neighborhood website, so you can see about all the happenings in Columbus Park.
Now, you say you're hanging the show. We'll be hanging the show. Do you also have that bit of a open space yard? I've seen sculpture across the street from the Trap Gallery. Is that also going to be a part of this show?
Not for the Proximity show.
Okay.
There will be when Love Rust rolls around in October. There will be large outdoor sculptures in the Dahlquist Sculpture Garden, as we call it, because Chris and Kyle Dahlquist live next door, and they have the yard, and they are nice enough to let me use it for the Rust show.
Yeah. So now, when Love Rust comes around, do you block off the street, or is there any other exhibits that you can block the streets and have sort of a block party?
Well, we actually are having a bit of a block party on Friday.
Okay.
Another one of my neighbors has a fundraiser benefit, and she will have a big tent set up on Gillis Street in front of the gallery, and she'll be doing her thing. We have blocked off the streets in the past and turned it into more of a block party.
Yeah, because it just feels, you know, it just lends itself to that neighborhood, you know, bring the dogs and the kids and your, you know, coolers and your, you know, chairs,
absolutely,
you know, and just have fun.
Absolutely.
And that sort of thing. Now, with proximity, is it a mix of 2D and 3D work? Are we looking at paintings?
It's a little bit of everything. There's there's paintings, there's photography, there's woodworking, 3D sculptures. There's sort of some a nice found object piece that one of my neighbors threw LED lights into, and so it's that's a interesting piece. So it's a little bit of everything.
So with owning the gallery and your duties as a father and a husband and all that, do you find time to shoot, photograph the work that you like to do?
I do. I try to make time. I'm currently working on a couple of bodies of work. One of them came from a trip to a farm out by Salina that I took about a year and a half ago to a friend of mine's uncle's farm, who was a bit of a collector.
Say hoarder.
I won't say hoarder because he was very organized about it.
Yeah.
But he had old farm equipment, old file drawers, just acres and acres of metal. And I went out there and spent almost a whole day just shooting that stuff. And I'm still going back to that well and pulling images out that I like and making prints. And then I make an occasional pilgrimage down to the scrap metal yard and wander around and try to find stuff. I also like to just walk around downtown. I take a lot of pictures of sidewalks and pavement and things like that. So I'm never hurting for subject matter.
Sure. As far as your format goes, you usually work on a large scale, right?
I like to print big. The couple of the pieces I'm working on right now are about 46 by 20. So
you have your own dark room, or do you sort of outsource some of the work that is printed?
At this point in time, I'm having my prints made and mounted elsewhere, and then I build my frames and put it all together.
Yeah, you know, there's just such a wealth of resources when you're looking at the patina of rust, or, you know, layers of corroded paint and that sort of thing. So, you know, I can see, you know, the excitement in your eyes when you even talk about this. So we do want to remind our listeners that this Friday, Proximity opens up at the Trap Gallery at 525 Gillis. I'm talking to Dan Free. Dan, so you have the rest of the calendar year filled up?
I do.
For exhibits.
I do.
What are some upcoming shows that we'll see?
In June, a photographer named Steve Wilson, who just retired from Hallmark, and he does he shoots wet plate collodion negatives, which is an old technique on glass, you know, where you expose on glass.
Have you ever done that?
I have not.
I haven't either.
It sounds
intriguing, but, you know.
Sounds like a lot of work. but his prints are very rich and beautiful. In July, artist named Matt Crane, who is finishing up his MFA in New York, he's going to come Kansas City and show us what he's been working on the last couple of years. In August 21st, I have Ken Beeny, who...
Oh, my gosh. I haven't heard that name in a long time.
I know. And he just moved back to Lawrence recently. And so I tracked him down, and we're putting the show together. September 18th, Nicole Caulfield is going to show her photography. October 16th, as you said, is Love Rust.
Mm-hmm.
And in November 20th, I have a painter named Max Key, who was at the Art Institute with me, but is mm-hmm. living in Southern Illinois
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
He does big, beautiful still lifes, brightly colored, really amazing work. So
you have a pretty exciting lineup for the rest of the year.
I do.
When you go to plan for the following year, is there a date or submission time that you're looking at? A call for artists, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I haven't gone so far as to put out a call for artists.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, because people seem to find me,
yeah.
and I don't.
Yeah.
I don't
and
need to go fishing.
And that's the thing about the creative community is that. Yeah, everyone kind of knows everyone, so
right.
yeah, that's a good thing.
Right, and but I'm always wanting to see new stuff
yeah.
and
yeah.
And set up possibilities. So.
You know, you mentioned Ken Beeney, and I went to the Art Institute with Ken, so it'd be good to come back and see his work. Do you find that having gone to the Art Institute, that people that you graduated with or were in classes with? Are they still making art?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Actually, this year, well, Matt Crane, Ken Beeney, Nicole Caulfield, and Max Key were all at the Art Institute
yeah.
at the same time as me. So I'm always amazed to find out, that people are they're still doing it.
Yeah. You know, we made the right choice instead of being doctors and lawyers and such. So, listen, do you have any last words, anything that you might want to mention that we sort of didn't get to?
Well, I just want to, remind everybody that Third Fridays are growing
yeah.
in Columbus
yeah.
Park. We have
yeah.
a couple of new venues that are going to be opening up on Third Fridays. And we're trying to tie our Third Fridays with the new Third Fridays in the East Bottoms.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, it'll be a good chance to come down and roam around and
rain or shine.
Absolutely.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining me today, Dan. For you're welcome back anytime.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a quick break for some underwriting, and we'll be right back.
This Wednesday's All Souls Forum talks about suicide. Dr. Stanley Edlovich from UMKC has established links between negative thought patterns like hopelessness and a sense of failure and clinical symptoms as indicators of acute suicide risk. We tackle a big subject on this Wednesday's All Souls Forum at 6 p.m., suicide with Dr. Stanley Edlovich.
This is Harry S. Truman, inviting you to join me for the From Art to Microchip show. Dwight Frizzell, one of my neighbors out here in Independence, Missouri, made something he calls Harry's Shadow, and I'm in it. Although I don't have a dime's worth of interest in it, I hope the show is a grand success, and all of you listen in.
Wednesday night at 11:30.
And you're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I'm here with my next guest, who is Jameson Bales. He's been published in numerous literary journals and magazines, and currently his work can be found in two books, The Cataman Years, published by Mistop Publications, and The Artistic Muses, published by True Color Press. Jameson also maintains two blogging sites as a means of expression, and he is currently working on his next manuscript entitled Legends of Doho. Jameson currently resides in Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome, Jameson.
Good afternoon.
You've been here before, and we like that. We like that about you.
Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Well, we had talked earlier via email about the latest work that you're doing, and it turns out someone from Los Angeles is coming in town to film you. Let's talk about that.
Sure. Angel Ural Perales is the editor of Rumraiser Press in based in Los Angeles, and he's been an active member of the L.A. poetry scene for a number of years. And he is flying. He's actually in LAX at the moment. And he is He's flying in. He should be here sometime this afternoon. And he's got a gig at Prospero's tomorrow night. He's doing a reading about 8 p.m. And he contacted me a couple weeks ago and mentioned he was going to be in town. And he shot an idea that he wanted to feature me on his site. So sometime tomorrow we're going to be filming some stuff around town. And
see, you sort of met him online, maybe through your blog or that? Is that what
through
you're saying?
Social circles.
Uh-huh. Yeah. How exciting is that?
Well, when I wake up, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, is he featuring other poets? Is it sort of a documentary? What is the
It's just yours truly.
Yeah.
He's featured written work with other authors, but he came up with this idea that he wanted to actually do a video feature. So I'm the guinea pig this month.
So will you? I guess you won't really know until he comes. But is he going to film you while you're reading, or just sort of walking, or your thoughts? What do you know? What the process is going to be like?
I basically thrive off of improvisation, so we'll shoot a few things around town, mm-hmm. and then I'll probably read a poem or two, and then mm-hmm. we'll discuss the nature of poetry as I see it. So
yeah, what is the nature of poetry? You tell me right now.
For me, it's defining the connections that occur with this thing that we call existence, and it could be something as simple as thoughts and feelings for a loved one, or it could be social issues, or mm-hmm. your connection with the Creator, or however you see it. So I know it's a very vague answer, but it's also, it expounds the possibilities of what a poem mm-hmm. could be.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't actually like to define, well, this is poetry, this is not poetry.
Yeah.
For me, anything could be poetry. So,
you know, I do want to ask you something about poetry versus spoken word. You know, I talk to people who are spoken word poets, and you know, they sort of are not real thrilled about poetry in general, where you know the idea is that people come in, you sit down for a reading, and you clap, maybe or not, and it's very reserved. And so you know, the struggle, the battle about that is, well, spoken word is much more free, and it's just, you know, a little bit more open and you know, just what are your thoughts about that?
I'm holding back my laugh.
Well, you know, because it's almost like being in art school. You know, the sculpture students hated the commercial art, you know, aspect of, you know, the departments and that sort of thing. And it's kind of that back and forth. It's a happy existence there.
I could see how that definition could occur with poetry, where, you know, there's a lectern there and somebody will stand there and then you golf clap after every poem.
Yeah.
But the readings that I personally participate in and ones I've witnessed have been nothing like that at all.
Yeah.
So for me personally, readings are about creating a moment.
Uh-huh.
So I may have a poem that I've read 20 times,
mm-hmm.
but each time I read that poem, I'll read it differently, or I'll throw a line in there.
There's somewhat of a performance to reading poetry, too. I mean, you know, to emphasize certain words or emotion or feeling, don't you think?
Correct. Yeah. It's kind of, for me, it's kind of an in-the-moment thing. But I can also see the other side of it. If somebody had spent, you know, 6 months crafting a poem, they reached what they thought was perfection, they're going to read it. I mean, they're the creator of it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And there's some positive benefits to being in those kind of readings, because some of those readings where it's just kind of very structured, that works because that's mm-hmm. their style of mm-hmm. you know their creativity. Yeah. For other people, it doesn't work that way. So
I know sometimes you know, I hate to say this, but sometimes I prefer the reading the work, you know, the poems or whatever, you know, on my own without really listening to someone's voice to it too. I mean, there's that. But last time you came on the studio, on the program, you were going to read poetry with a couple of other people at in Weston, Missouri. How did that go? It was a wine and poetry series, right?
It was a wine and poetry series. And
did you get too liquored up?
I did not get too liquored up. What happened was we had myself and there were two other readers, Michelle Roberts from Lincoln, Nebraska, and Dennis Elchild Jr., who's an English professor in Topeka, were featured readers. And about a couple hours before the event, I get a text message from Michelle. She had an emergency and she couldn't be there.
Mm-hmm.
And the winery targets women. That's their general demographic.
Uh-huh.
And she was my only female poet.
Uh-huh.
And so I had a brief moment of panic. There may have been a possibility wine was consumed at that moment in time. And so I calmed down. I chatted with Dennis, and I said, it's just going to be you and I for about an hour and a half, but we'll stretch it out. And so I had some of Michelle's poems handy.
Oh, good.
So I had to give my best impersonation of a blonde graduate student at the University of Lincoln.
Yeah.
So I was reading two of her poems, and then she sent me this other poem. I started reading it. And it ended up being a Rick Ashley poem, so I end up Rickrolling the entire audience, which was hilarious, but it caught me off guard. So there was about 25 people there at the reading, and 80% of them had never been to a poetry reading before. So that idea of golf clapping and all that, that got thrown out the window about 5 seconds.
Yeah. Well, wine will do that, too.
But that was before everybody started drinking. But overall, it was a pretty successful event. So.
Now, is this something that they'll keep up throughout the year, do you know?
We're going to do once a year, and currently we're working on next year's event, which will be a little bigger. There's nothing formalized at this moment in time, but... it will be soon. So,
well, I want to ask you. I want to invite you to read some of your work if you would like to.
Sure.
And remind our audience that you are listening to Jameson Bales. You can find him at jamesonbales.wordpress.com. So there you go.
This poem's entitled "The Winter of My Discontent," and it is. My declaration, I've decided to stop dating. I'm letting Kansas City know that I'm completely off the market.
Now
out of
we're
frustration.
Get phone
calls. The flight board light up here. This poem's entitled "The Winter of My Discontent." Reverberated echoes and recycled candle wicks. No response. Unsealed envelopes and empty matchbox. No response. A scrap of paper laments inside Union Station after it fell out of her purse. In many ways, your wanderlust has continued since you met me. What grinds us together tears us apart. Winter has set in, and in many ways, we have let our own fires become winterized. A time of rekindling, spring cannot exist without winter's perseverance. The spring of our lives is very close. I love you. Painted ceilings and unplowed driveways, no response. Tree bums argue over tin cans outside of Starbucks. A cat creeps into an alley, no response. Whenever I dial her phone number, there is repose, but there is no response. After I Jackson Pollock myself over a young woman's heart and redecorate an unmarked grave, I realize that not all continents are landlocked during the freedom of the winter of my discontent.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Beautiful. How do you have an organized way of writing? I know some people say, yes, the first thing I do in the morning, I make my coffee, and then I sit down and I spend an hour or two writing. Do you have a sort of a ritual of writing?
I should say that's my ritual, but it's not. I tend to be a binge writer, so there'll be moments where I'll be drastically inspired, and I'll spend 3 or 4 days about sleep writing, and then I'll go a couple weeks without writing. So, but I'm generally some sort of scribbling in some form, one way or another. And then my collective process is I'll gather a few thoughts here and there and just kind of throw it in a metaphoric blender, and poems come out that way. So.
Now, in what I read as your bio, that you're working on your next manuscript entitled Legends of Doho. Do you want to talk about that?
The book centers on the idea of a writer that's lost his muse. There was a young woman that was very inspirational for me that I knew in high school. Her name is Dory Renee Hogan, who tragically passed away in 1997. So the book centers on my struggle to begin writing again. It's mostly autobiographical. It's 90% poems and a lot of prose as well. So,
is that how close are you to finishing that? Or are you still sort of you know, still sort of working on it daily, or just as, you know, the inspiration hits you?
The basic format's there. It just needs one last breath to it to sew it all up. But about 90% done.
Well, do you have some of that work with you today?
That piece I read is part of that manuscript.
Would you like to read another?
I could do that, yeah.
Absolutely.
This is entitled Waltz Blues. I did a reading in Topeka on May 5th. It was a feature reader at Skivvy's Bar. And they let me read for about 20 minutes, and they had an open mic. And some guy, I'm not going to say who, dressed up as Walter White from Breaking Bad and recited Ozymandias in front of the crowd. He may have looked like me, but I'm not going to confirm or deny it. So I wrote this poem. I was a huge Breaking Bad fan, still am. And I wrote this poem in between season 4 and 5. Waltz Blues. When you enrapture a whisper, time becomes your next of kin. Pirouetting among the gaps of thought, continuance lashes out as a mirrored metronome out of tune. The phrases that endure, the laughter of tears, her unending smile, when she slips away and escorts her voice into her dreams. The shadowed echoes awaken and mime every thought you've never owned. The broken lamp, an unkept bed, her shattered screams whimper my name. Lightning never freezes, eventually. Looking for a riot to hold on to, I now have reasons that God may not forgive. After the warrant was issued, Sin and Grace became my roommates. Their unending argument lingered, lodging logic in an illogical apartment. How fragrant, eventually.
Wow. Good stuff, my friend.
Thanks.
You know, when you read that, and I think about a lot of different things, but I think about Angel, who's going to come and shoot you, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
He's going to be filming you, and thinking about spaces where, you know, some of your work might be recorded at, because you said it's going to be recorded around town someplace.
Correct.
Do you have any thoughts? Midtown's
always seemed like home to me.
Yeah.
So Angel Perales is the one shooting that, and he's concerned about, you know, noise, background noise, this, that, and the other. So, and again, he's got a radio gig in Lawrence that morning, and we'll come back to Kansas City, and it'll be, you know, there's all these factors that come in. But that's just kind of more my style anyway. So I hate to say this on air, but he's just going to have to grit and bear it. But Midtown's always seemed like home to me. Union Stationery's always seemed like home.
Yeah.
So it'll be someplace remote like that.
Because all of the photographs that I've seen you are in these gritty sort of urban places, a little bit of decay, and mostly sort of, you know, it looks like you know, the West Bottoms-ish area just has a good fit for you.
Correct.
Yeah.
For me, there's a lot of dichotomy to that, where it's just kind of the means of existence. We're always kind of in this rotation of corrosion and rebirth and creation. So,
Do you have, aside from this this video, do you have something coming up in the near future, in a couple of weeks, months?
I did 22 readings during the month of April. So after tomorrow's event, I'm taking some time off.
Uh-huh.
There's a few projects that are currently in development in September in the area. And I'm looking at the Cleveland area because there's a huge poetry scene in Cleveland, Ohio, sometime next year, being involved in all that. And since Angel's flying out, I wouldn't put it past him to have abducting me and putting me in a bag and sending me back to Los Angeles with him. So I could see that happening as well next year.
I'll be in Los Angeles next year for AWP. It's you know, going to be at the convention center, so I'll be spending some time in Los Angeles. You know, and it's never too late to you know, start booking now, because you know, the hotels will fill like crazy.
Yeah.
Have you been to any of the conferences at AWP, the Association of Writers and Writing?
I'm very familiar with it, but I have not been involved with that yet.
A huge community of, you know, academic and, you know, writers and students and all that. But, LA should be fun. Should be a little pricey, too.
Yeah, it'll be pricey. It'll be busy, which will be good.
Yeah. So I do want to remind our listeners, jamesonbales.wordpress.com. And let's give your blog... What is your
I have two, Transgressions and Transubstantiation on WordPress is one.
Okay.
And Excavations and Social Magnetisms is the other. And both are just kind of random thoughts and moments that occur to me. So that I don't put a lot of thought on that. I just start writing about whatever comes to mind. So
now with Angel's appearance tomorrow at Prospero's.
Correct.
Will you be reading?
No, I will not. It'd just be, I can't remember the other writer's name off the top of my head. It's just going to be Angel, another Kansas City based writer.
Okay.
That'll be reading. So, and it's rather interesting the way that kind of developed is Angel contacted me and he contacted the folks over at Prospero's and he's going to be in town today and tomorrow and then he's going down to visit family in Wichita, which is that's really the great thing about the poetic community.
Yeah.
Somebody could just fly in and say, hey, is there something going on with them? You can book something. And this is really great. So, yeah.
Are your books available through Amazon or your...
The Artistic Muses is. The Cataman Years, published by MyStop Publications, is actually... it's out of print. That press is out.
Okay.
A print. So I haven't decided if I'm going to ship that to somebody else. But I've got this other manuscript. I've got three or four manuscripts in development.
Okay.
But I'd like to get Legends of Doho done as quickly as possible because I've been working on that for 3 years. So it's got to get out. So...
Needs to be out of the incubator, right?
Just got to get out of the incubator, right?
Excellent. Is there anything else that we should cover for our listeners, or what our listeners should know about something about you? Tell me something about you that our listeners don't know.
There is a growing poetry scene that's just developed in the Midwest, which is really exciting to see. I participated in a reading at the Bottleneck on the 21st of April called It's a Poetry Thing, and there were poets from Kansas City, Topeka, all the way out in Salina, Lawrence, and it lasted about 5 hours, believe it or not.
Wow.
And there's some high school kids there that are doing some slamming, and there was featured readers, this, that, and the other. And those are elements where I really thrive. So the more those kind of opportunities present themselves, that's where you're going to see me.
Well, I know the Writer's Place right over here at 36th in Pennsylvania, they're huge about reaching out into the community and to, you know, kids in school with writing programs after school and, you know, during the summer and that sort of thing. So we're cultivating a new generation of writers and readers and poets, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not just spoken word.
Right. It's not just spoken word.
So tomorrow, Prospero's, at what time?
8 o'clock is his reading.
Okay. And for more information, you might check out prosperos.com.
Correct.
Okay, excellent. Thank you so much, Jameson Bales. I wish you the best of luck, and I hope to see the video soon.
It'll be featured on rumraiser.com.
Okay.
So that's where it'll be featured at. So.
Excellent. We're going to take a real quick break, and we'll be right back.
Dr. Margie Kerr is a small-town gal who grew up to become known as the sociologist who studies fear. Tune in to the chilling adventures of Dr. Margie Kerr on Sprouts Thursday at noon.
Why do so-called education reforms keep proposing the same failed strategies for education? Blaming teachers, attacking tenure, proposing testing or charters, or outright privatization. What are the strategies based on best practices by teachers that are actually working, and why are they ignored? Find out this week on the Heartland Labor Forum. Our show is called Teacher Wars, the Most Embattled Profession. Thursday at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Friday, 5 a.m.
Welcome back to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd. Next, my guest here in the studios. You might recognize him. You might not. But he's a beautiful friend of KKFI. And he's welcome back anytime you want to. I'm going to talk to Diego Chief of Making Movies. And we're going to talk about the Salsa Side Project and the Making Movies Social Club. They're teaming up with the Mid-America chapter of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society and 90.9, The Bridge, Enya Magazine, and KCSalsa.com to throw a Latin-themed party as a tribute to Fania Records at Kansas City's Voodoo Lounge this Friday, May 15th. So Welcome, Diego.
Thank you. It's good to be back on the show.
Well, you know, anytime. All you have to say is, I want to be on. So let's talk about this this fundraiser. How did that begin?
Well, it came through, we have a very close friend who he had a cousin that passed away of leukemia and when she was a teenager. Mm. And the fascinating thing is that if she had been diagnosed today, the strides that the Leukemia Lymphoma Society had made, she would have had a higher chance of survival. Mm-hmm. And probably would have been completely fine.
Mm-hmm.
Which shows the wonderful work that they're doing, but at the same time it also highlights and underscores the need to continue supporting research for
Absolutely.
It. So he's been a great friend of ours, and we've done small fundraisers with him in the past, and he dreamed up this idea of doing a big event, and he knows that we love showcasing the music from Fania, which to making movies our main project is very important. Mm-hmm. Because it's immigrant music.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're able to showcase this music that we love to provide something fun for the audience, and also it's for a great cause benefiting the Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
But I have to say that making movies has such a terrific reputation and relationship with the community and helping out, because you also work with youth after school and music programs and all that. So I'm not surprised that you wanted to be a part of this.
Well, thank you. No, that's right. We feel that music, as musicians, part of our responsibility is to impact the community that we live in. We think about my brother and I, we talk often about how musicians over 100 years ago, before the idea of fame the way it exists today with big rock stars and pop mm-hmm. stars like that, mm-hmm. if you were a musician, it was not that different from being your local butcher or your
yeah.
your cobbler or whatever. Whenever there's
yeah.
a party or a wedding or a funeral, you call the musician,
mm-hmm.
and they're part
mm-hmm.
of the community, and
yeah.
they do that
yeah.
service. So that's our mantra. That's how we see our role here in Kansas City.
And that's just really beautiful. I do want to tell our listeners that Making Movies will be starting the night off with a set of their own music, and then after that they'll be bringing more talent to the stage with a 12-piece band. They'll play two sets as Making Movies Social Club, and then who's up next?
Well, we'll actually close out the night with that big group doing that tribute.
Uh-huh.
We call it the Social Club because it ends up being almost like a way to hang out with our talented musician friends.
Too much fun.
Yeah. We've been rehearsing all week and mm-hmm. putting together this music that's from these records, like I said, Fania, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. all the main salsa hits from the 70s mm-hmm. and 80s, mm-hmm. The songs by Hector Lavoe, you know, like La Murga songs by Ruben Blades, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're doing
mm-hmm.
Pedro Navaja and things mm-hmm. like that. These songs that were iconic for the immigrant community mm-hmm. in the United
yeah.
States, we're able to pay homage to them. So we've been working really hard to get those songs down and make it a really, really fun night for everyone.
You know, it really will be a fun night. You also, I see the Maria the Mexican.
That's right. We have the Cuevas sisters. They're going to be singing a song with us.
Yeah.
We'll have Mark Lowry from the jazz community. He's a great pianist. We also have wonderful trumpet and trombone players from the jazz community.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a really mm-hmm. fun group of people.
And I want to say that a portion of the proceeds will go to the LLS, whose mission is to cure leukemia, lymphoma, Hodgkin's disease, and myeloma, and to improve the quality of life of patients and their families. And for our listeners, if you would like more information, you can. I'll tell you two ways. You can look at www.mkgmvs.com, which is Making Movies, the
yeah.
website, and then Harris, which is voodookc.com,
yep.
and that will give you more information about that.
Yeah, either one. You can also even do makingmoviesband.com if
there
that's easier.
That's easy.
It's less abbreviated.
Now, you guys have had a terrific you know, history of touring, and you've got a lot more dates that are coming up, too.
That's right. After, basically right after this show on Friday, mm-hmm. We hit the road, and we stop in Tucson, and we're going to be mm-hmm. working on our next album up there. But then after that, at the end of May, we'll be doing some dates in California.
Yeah.
And you can check all of our tour dates on our website as well. Again, makingmoviesband.com. Mm-hmm. But we'll be out in California at the end of May and through the first couple weeks of June before we come home again.
Well, I know this upcoming event on Friday for the fundraiser, will you be sort of giving us a sneak peek of any of the new music that you're working on?
You know, we've been playing out a lot of these new tunes. That's part of, as a band, this is mm-hmm. part of what we do. We like to kind of test the waters with this, the new material. So I'm sure we'll hear some new music, and it'll be great to be, it's like a send-off for us again, because we'll get to see our friends and be home, but then be able to show off this new music and then head out and hit mm-hmm. the road again.
Mm-hmm. With the collaboration of the folks that you have on for Friday night, is there any talk about a recording of this collaboration of really terrific artists and musicians?
You know, the
I may be jumping the gun, but it just seems to me there's just so much talent right there.
No, I agree. We've talked about it, actually. It's funny that you say that, but we definitely want to begin producing some kind of recordings with either the Social Club or something mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. where we use this mm-hmm. talent. Mm-hmm. We have some things in the works, because there's actually some music that has been written that is in the folkloric style, like mm-hmm. what we're imitating.
Right.
We're doing a tribute to it, but uh-huh. That we've discovered, and so we're trying to figure out how to move forward with that, mm-hmm. and that, so mm-hmm. it would be a side project, and mm-hmm. we could feature the talent, mm-hmm. these talented people mm-hmm. that we know.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing on the books, but it is in the talks, I guess I'll put it that way.
And you're still working with students after school when you're in town.
That's right.
Maddie Rhodes?
That's correct.
Is that right?
That's correct. In fact, this Thursday is the last one before the school year closes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's during their after school hours. And mm-hmm. then we have a summer camp, mm-hmm. Which I'm sure I'll come back and talk
Absolutely.
A little bit more about as we get closer to that. But we'll have we do a 1 week long, basically, summer workshop where
right.
kids come and they explore different instruments. They work on singing and
mm-hmm.
vocals,
mm-hmm.
and then they get to experience performing for the community.
Well, and I wanted to say that not only are they learning that, and you're having this musical bond with them and helping them discover, you know, music, but they're also learning something from you, and that, again, giving back to the community, that you're not just performing just for the sake of performing, but you're also, you know, instilling sort of a giving back to the community.
That's right. No,
you know,
like
pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
be a part of where you're from and where you
right.
live.
Right.
And you know that we think, like I said, as an artist or if you're as a musician,
mm-hmm.
that part of your skills are meant to be shared, and you don't just keep them to yourself or to seek fame, but share with the community that you come from or that you want to have an impact on.
I have to ask you, Diego, in this write-up about the event this weekend at the mm-hmm. Voodoo Lounge, there's also going to be salsa dancing lessons. Let's talk about that.
Oh, yes. That kicks off the evening right
uh-huh.
at 8 o'clock, I believe,
uh-huh.
is there'll be a salsa lesson, and it's included in the whole event.
Uh-huh.
And so you can, if you've never danced salsa, you can get a little bit of the basics.
Uh-huh.
And if you have gotten it, it also helps to refine. That's part of KCSalsa.com's mission. They've been helping and been teaching salsa lessons for a really long time here in Kansas City. So they'll be offering that, so that way you're warmed up and ready to go by the time we hit the stage first. You can dance to our music, but then when we come back out and do this salsa music, this tribute to Fania Records, you'll be ready to dance the whole rest of the night
but
away.
But if you want to do the funky chicken, that's okay, too.
That's completely
right.
acceptable.
No.
There are no
rules
on this.
As far as the lessons go, will people need to have a partner, or are there just going to be people that will be available to kind of...
It's in the past, I think that they've only... It's just the group, and it's not necessarily with a partner, but normally there's people that are willing to partner up.
That'd be fun. Yeah. So, again, I wanted to mention that this is... on Friday, May 15th at Harrah's, North Kansas City at One Riverboat Drive, voodookc.com for more information, or Making Movies
Band. MakingMoviesBand.com.
Okay, mm-hmm. Very good. You know what? I brought that banjolele in there. I know you were looking at it. Feel free to pick it up if you like, but I'm just saying. Just saying. So you'll be in Bakersfield, California, the 31st of this month. So you just have a little bit of downtime before you go out of town.
Kind of. The week between, you know, the 10 days basically, uh-huh, between this Friday and that Bakersfield date will be spent in Tucson, Arizona, recording.
Oh, okay.
So
okay, yeah,
the downtime will be used up in that way. So we'll be working hard in the studio before we go out and continue to play some shows. So it'll be really exciting. We're working again with Steve Berlin from Los Lobos.
Oh, yeah.
We've been working hard on this new music, we're excited to see what comes together for the studio recordings.
And you just played with them recently. They were in town, what, 2 weeks ago, a week ago?
At the beginning of the month.
Knuckleheads?
They came through Knuckleheads. Yeah. We actually had played with them the night before in Columbia, Missouri as well.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And we're very lucky that we've developed a friendship with them and that they've extended their hand of mentorship, and it's been great, really, really great to have them be on our team and excited to see us and hang out with us.
So will they produce the newest recording?
Yes, Steve from the band will be there the whole time, almost the whole time, and he will be working with us to produce this record.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Any influences that are going to be different or just something?
You know, I would say that for this, the music that we're working on now, it sounds to me like it is a much more focused aim. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I would say that there's any specific influences that we're pulling from more.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a very pinpointed artistic statement. And I think that it will be, we're looking to make an extremely strong record. And when we're ready, I'd be happy to share some parts with you.
You know,
part with people who if you get the pre-sale for the event on Friday at the Voodoo Lounge,
mm-hmm,
we do have a new recording that we're giving away. And it's called Maria, and it's tied to the old record, to A La Deriva, that record, and it's one of the songs that's connected to another song from that record called Lo Que Quiero. So Maria is like the response, if you will. It's, the story centers, the record was a concept record, and the story centers around this immigrant family that falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And Lo Que Quiero highlights an abusive relationship where a mother and decides to take her daughter out of this situation and decides to leave. And Maria, which is this new song that we're giving away to those pre-sales, it would be like the response to that event happening. I hope that people pick up on that. But even if not, we're very proud of the music that we made for that song.
That sounds really beautiful. And I have to tell you, that is one of my favorite songs. When I hear it, honestly, it brings tears to my eyes because it's just so beautifully written. So it'll be interesting to see that sort of response to the song.
Yeah.
So
thank you. Well, thank you.
Well, I do want to thank you, Diego Chief, for coming in. You know, anytime, my friend. Anytime.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, and thank you for all the good things that you do in the community with Making Movies. I want to thank my guests today, Jameson Bales, Dan Free, Diego Chi, and of course I want to thank all my listeners who have tuned in today for ArtSpeak Radio. Next week, my guests will be Mind Drive. That's May 20th, MindDrive.org. MindDrive uses real-world issues of our times to teach urban students critical thinking and creativity, entrepreneurship, and how to improve their future by expanding their visions for themselves. So that will be my guest next week. Future shows that we have coming up in the next month, I'll have artists Harold Smith, Crystal Highland, author, writer, novelist Randy Atwood, Alan Winkler, Wayne Courtois, David Wayne Reed. They'll all talk about the Celebration of Queerness 2015 and my upcoming shows. For now, I do want to tell listeners to stay tuned at 1 o'clock for Jazz in the Afternoon, Afternoon Jazz with Jeff Harshbarger. At 3 p.m., Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant. At 6 p.m., All Souls Forum. 7 o'clock, American Roots. 9 o'clock, Classical Challenge. Thank you again for tuning in to KKFI 90.1 FM, Kansas City Community Radio, and to ArtSpeak. Thank you all for tuning in. Honey, I'm coming home. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.